we never get very far away from the question of authority. The question, who's in charge here? This certainly is at the center of today's gospel. Who's in charge here? The man with the unclean spirit realizes someone has come who's more powerful than he is. And he is afraid. Have you come to destroy us? And Jesus casts out the unclean spirit, and the people recognize this man Jesus speaks and acts with authority. As I said, it's never very far from our minds the question of who's in charge. In the news recently, there was a violent protest in the U.S. Capitol, and protesters stormed the government, the center, the seat of government. And I suppose they thought they were in charge. I don't really know what they were trying to accomplish, but they overwhelmed the police or the security officials and took over for at least for a couple hours. It raised the question in the news and in the minds of people, who's really in charge over there? And what is the status of the proposed transition of power? Because a new president was elected, and if there's a new one, the old one has to be out of power so the new one can take power. So setting aside all the political complexities there, the question is still, who's really in charge? Who's in charge? In a democracy, people say, well, the people are in charge. But the people have to select someone to represent them, and then those people are in charge until the people say, no, we don't want that person in charge anymore. Not a perfect system, of course, but someone has to make the decisions. In the church, the bishop is in charge of the diocese. And if someone doesn't like what the bishop does, well, he can appeal to the pope. The pope's in charge of the whole church. There's no appeal higher than the pope, except by prayer, of course. The most basic criterion that people understand for who's in charge is who has the most power, who's the strongest. Might makes right. And in the most primitive categories of people, the one who can force others to do what he wants is in charge. So if we look at the hierarchy of all that is, of course God is in charge. He's the most powerful. He's all-powerful. Then, the most powerful beings he has created are the angels. So we say, okay, well, then they're in charge. Then, the human person is in charge, and then everything has been entrusted to the human authority. That's what it says here in the first reading. Everything has been placed under man's rule. That's in the psalm, and also in the psalm number 8 and in the first reading, where you have made him a little less than the angels, you have given him rule over the works of your hands, putting all things under his feet. Okay, God, angels, man, the rest of creation, who's in charge? What about when the angels rebelled against God? What about when man rebelled against God? What happens next? Well, in our simplistic way of thinking, the one who is more powerful forces those under him to obey. Might makes right. The one in charge makes everybody obey. It's a matter of control. But God does not. He could do that, of course. But he doesn't work that way, because God is love, And he knows that mere control does not allow for love. So he has this surprising way of dealing with disobedience, with rebellion. He enters into the world of rebellion and undermines it. He makes himself lower than the angels. He makes himself lower than human authority. He subjects himself to Pilate and to the authorities of the synagogue and the temple, and he becomes their slave, their servant. It's a very hard thing to get used to because it goes against the might makes right idea. It goes against the idea that the one who has the most power has the right to tell people what to do. Yes, God has the right, but he doesn't exercise that right. He lowers himself. The letter to the Hebrews, it reflects on this. God didn't make the world subject to the angels. He made the world subject to the Son of Man. Somehow, God decides that human authority is above angelic authority. Doesn't make any sense. We're much weaker than the angels, but God has placed man above the angels. The letter to the Hebrews applies this Psalm number 8 not only to the human family in general, but specifically to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ. He's the Son of Man. He's the one who was made for a little while lower than the angels, and he's crowned with glory and honor, and everything is subject to him. We saw this surprising system of God on Sunday at the baptism. When Jesus came to be baptized, John immediately realized, this isn't the right order. You're higher than I am. I should be baptized by you. And Jesus says, no, submit for now. Submit to the way God wants it to be done. Let it be done according to God's will, not your will. And John, because he was humble and a man of faith, he submitted to it and he baptized Jesus. So the lesser baptized the greater. This strange reversal that keeps popping up everywhere in whenever we reflect on the ways of God, the lower becomes greater than the higher, and the higher is subject to the lower. Along comes Jesus, this is after the baptism, of course. He goes to Capernaum, and he enters the synagogue. He's not a rabbi. He's not in charge of the synagogue. He's not known to be a scribe or a Pharisee or anyone of authority. He's a carpenter who has gathered some followers. He looks lower. But in fact, he has greater authority. And that's what's so amazing to the people. Everything is mixed up here. Who is really in charge here? What we have to do is recognize and submit to the authority of God, but also recognize that he exercises his authority in a very humble way. He lowers himself. He does things that look to us like he's weak and not in charge. And it's tempting to us to say, well, then we'll do it our own way because God isn't doing it the right way. God isn't acting with his right authority, so we'll take charge. That's where the mistake comes in, and that's the rebellion of the angels. They didn't like how God was running things. They didn't like that God would make himself lower than the angels. They didn't want to serve those who were below them. So that idea that I'm going to take charge now because I don't like how things are being done, that's a big error. It's a rebelliousness that is deep in our fallen nature. What are we to do? Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. He is the one in authority, and even though it looks to us like he's not using his authority the way we want him to, or he's not taking charge and putting things in order, there's chaos and it's confusing to us, we never leave the umbrella of God's authority, never resist or rebel against his authority. Following him, we have to lower ourselves with him. We humble ourselves before him, even when it means being humbled before one another, before human authority, because God works through human authority, fallen human authority. So we never rebel against God, and we don't rebel against human authority either, but we do, of course, resist what is disordered in the human affairs. Okay, so the question is authority. God is in charge, but he doesn't reign with power. He reigns with love. He doesn't dominate with control. He serves. And this is the way he teaches us to live.